When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Hustle and Pro, talking sports from youth to pro. We're here at Visual Learning Solutions in Frisco, Texas. I'm your host, Kelly Walker. Today's episode is really fun because our guest is someone we love to watch online with multi-sports trick shot magic. So I'm going to introduce you to one of our sponsors first, then we'll come back and I'll introduce you to our guest for today's episode of Hustle and Pro.
For one-on-one tutoring for every student, all ages, and all subjects, call Tutor Doctor. They even make house calls. They provide in-home or online learning for all types and all goals. And don't forget Tutor Doctor for SAT and ACT test prep. So call for your free consultation today, 972-703-9344, or go to tutordoctor.com/frisco. Tutor Doctor, how learning hits home.
Let's get started with today's episode by introducing Max Hilty, trick shot athlete extraordinaire. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to get to know you. First things first, I want people to understand what you do. And maybe if they don't watch your videos, I want them to know, first of all, to find you on Instagram at Max_Hilty. That's H-I-L-T-Y.
Correct.
Because I do want people to kind of know as we're talking what we're talking about. So you do trick shots involving basketball, baseball, golf, football, soccer. I'm probably missing something. So I want to start with your sports background. You obviously have a sports background because from watching all the stuff that you can do. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I do have quite an extensive sports background. The most simple version is I played a lot of soccer and basketball. Those are my two main sports growing up. But I also played football, baseball, tennis, golf. I got really into action sports, did a lot of skateboarding, snowboarding. I grew up in Colorado, so that was kind of part of the game. My dad had me on skis at 2, so basically anything I could get my hands on, I just became obsessed with.
And so what, as you were growing up, what were some of the ones that you kind of stuck a little more than others? Because, I mean, that's a lot, but did you have a path that you took a little more than the others?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, soccer beginning was like my number one. My dad played soccer in college, so he was like pushing me into that. Not even pushing me into that, just had a soccer ball in the house when I was even before I can even remember. So soccer, I played a lot on traveling teams growing up. I got into basketball, same thing. Those were kind of the two that I focused my attention the most on. But then when I was around 10, 11, I got really into skateboarding and snowboarding. And I grew up right outside of Aspen, Colorado, where they do the X Games. So I got, you know, I saw that in person when I was 11, became hooked on those. And then it was just kind of a balancing act of trying to find enough time to do all the things that I loved.
So when you talk about the X Games, is that something that, like, even at a young age, they seem like very sponsor heavy. Is that something that, like, sponsors come and approach you and talk to you and, like, you can, like, go pro in those sports?
Well, yeah, it was actually, I mean, that does happen, but for me, it was actually the opposite. I as a little 11-year-old, was approaching guys that were sponsored for snowboarding and skateboarding and snow skating, which is a smaller niche sport. And I would approach these guys who, you know, were pro at the time, or I'd approach the guys that were running the teams. And, you know, I didn't, you know, they were probably kind of brushing me aside, but they were very nice to me. And they told me, you know, if you want to get sponsored, you're going to have to go out and film you're going to have to do these tricks and, you know, send them in. And if you're good enough, then we'll sponsor you essentially. And I don't think anybody really thought that I was going to follow through or, you know, that I'd be hearing from these guys later on. But as an 11-year-old, I went out there and I did exactly what they said. And I spent all winter filming snowboarding tricks and I sent in these sponsor me tapes. And I actually got sponsored when I was 11.
Oh, wow.
And then continued throughout high school, really. I got to the level where some of my sponsors offered me some pro contracts. So,
wow.
Yeah.
In the extreme sports, is that what you're calling them? Or was it snowboarding?
Action sports. Well, I had some smaller sponsors in snowboarding and skateboarding, but snow skating, which was actually a hybrid between the two.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, most Texans probably have not heard of snow skating, but it's literally just a combination of the two sports. It's basically like skateboarding on snow. And so I was sponsored in skateboarding and snowboarding, and then naturally I fell in love with snow skating as well. And yeah, I actually had my own pro models at one point. So I had Max Hilty snow skates when I was in high school that you could go and buy at Zoomies or, you know, your local skate shop.
How cool. I didn't realize that. So was that the birth of trick shot videos for you? How did that actually come about to get you to where you are today with the videos?
Well, I mean, simultaneously, I was still playing my team sports, and even in soccer and basketball and baseball and, you know, all the other team sports that I played, I always had a knack for, you know, kind of doing fancy passes or trying, you know, layups that I'd seen the Harlem Globetrotters do. So I kind of had trick shots in my blood before it became a thing. And then just the creativity side of things that I got from skateboarding and snowboarding and snow skating and mm-hmm. filming those parts, they all kind of just meshed together later on when I was you know, actually out of college, and I started seeing people posting trick shot videos online, you know, like the big groups like Dude Perfect and, like I said, Harlem Globetrotters. And I started to see these videos and I thought, you know, I could definitely go out there and have fun trying to come up with something new and unique. And then it just became a challenge to see if I could come up with something that people hadn't done before. And that's kind of the birth of where these trick shot videos came from.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned Harlem Globetrotters. I never thought about it, but they kind of are the original trick shot guys.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're watching them on YouTube like we do people now, but they are, you know, old school goofy stuff that is also impressive at the same time. Like unimaginable stuff during a game, but things you can pull off that are, they're just really cool shots and like skills.
Yeah. And I saw them live when I was maybe 10 or so. And then, you know, immediately started trying to pull off some of those moves as a 10-year-old in my basketball practices. And, you know, to the displeasure of my coaches, you know, trying behind the back passes and shooting from just inside half court and, you know, doing things that probably weren't fundamentally sound at the time, but I kind of just always had fun with it and then just naturally progressed as these, you know, trick shot videos became popular.
Yeah, my 11-year-old's team definitely takes some crazy, you know, half court and they can't even get it there, but it's fun. That's the fun part. So when somebody isn't super familiar with your videos yet, tell us, like, what are a few of the must-see go-to videos that you would say, okay, you're new to me, go check me out on Instagram and go find, like, these videos. What are your best ones?
Well, I mean, I've got so many at this point, but the ones that I enjoy the most are when I mix in skateboarding with the other sports. It just kind of, you know, it's something that not a lot of people are doing out there. So that's kind of what I try and go after, is things that I haven't seen done before, because, you know, there are a lot of talented people out there, and you could say that the trick shot game is actually a little saturated in some areas. So I try and go out and do stuff that nobody else is doing. So incorporating skateboarding with basketball, with soccer, with golf even, you know, those ones are definitely very eye-catching, I would say. And then also, I noticed that I didn't really see anybody doing any baseball trick shots. I thought that was kind of an untapped market. And also just, I tried to challenge myself to come up with something that, you know, would be cool. And I started doing these bat flip videos where I'm popping the ball up in the air, doing a flip with the bat, and then hitting the ball out of the air. And I started those maybe like a year and a half ago. And didn't really think much of it other than this is pretty challenging. This is taking a lot of time to perfect.
Yeah, but once, it's like a whole nother step to get you to even like the hitting part, right?
Yeah, and it was just kind of a process of like envisioning it in my head and then actually going out and trying it and then saying, okay, this is going to be hard to pull off, but it's definitely possible.
Right.
So yeah, once I actually got a couple of those, I posted those on my Instagram page. And then something completely unexpected happened where the official MLB Instagram page actually reposted one of my videos during quarantine when there wasn't much sports content going on. And that video blew up and got on, you know, ESPN and all over the place. Actually was on some national TV commercials. And yeah, it all just happened when, you know, in my parents' backyard actually at the time. And I was just practicing this bat flip video and it kind of went viral. So I'd say definitely check out the baseball trick shot videos because I've expanded upon the bat flip a little bit. I've done double bat flips and those always seem to be, I don't know, people are impressed by those.
Yeah.
And those are also some of the most time consuming ones for sure.
To get right.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a perfectionist too. So like if I don't hit the ball very well after it, I'll go back and I'll redo it until I like it.
Well, I can see how the bat flip and, because it's different, and the skateboarding are really popular. And they're fun to watch because it's like, regardless of, you know, the basketball shot you're making or whatever, the golf, like whatever you're swinging and hitting or whatever, you're then, there's like this other element when you're on a skateboard, you're not on like ground, you're balancing or moving or, you know, there's this whole other piece to it. Because I, you know, a lot of them you'll be skateboarding as you're then setting up the shot you're about to make or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it just adds, it might not look to, like it's that much more complicated, but I would guess that it adds like an entire another layer of complication to those shots.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and also it kind of allows me to, you know, do some skateboard tricks without the risk of serious injury, you know, because when I was younger, I got to the point where I was, you know, skateboarding and snowboarding at a high level, and with that comes a lot of injury. So this kind of has allowed me to get back into my skateboarding roots without really risking too much of an injury.
You're in control of what, you know, how much risk you're going to take for those shots.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'd like to think that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. It's time for a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and continue talking to Max and learn more about some of his videos and goals and what's to come.
This episode is brought to you by I-9 Sports. I-9 Sports helps kids succeed in life through sports. Their leagues are perfect for boys and girls ages 3 to 14 with convenient one-day-a-week formats for practices and games on the same day. I-9's leagues and clinics are available in football, soccer, basketball, baseball, volleyball, zip lacrosse, and more. Learn more at i9sports.com. I-9 Sports, the way youth sports should be.
We're back with Max Hilty, and I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things like that you're working on in the future, because you said you're a perfectionist, and I'm sure that you always have things planned in your head. So it's obvious that golf and basketball, soccer, baseball, now you talked about skateboarding, are in your tool belt. What are some of the other things, some skills that you want to like grow on or some goals that you want to get to next?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I, you know, for a long time, I've been thinking about what's kind of the next step in this fun venture. And after getting a little bit of opportunity with some smaller brand deals and some things like that on my own, I kind of thought the next step in my evolution was starting a YouTube channel. So that's my biggest goal next year is to start a YouTube channel, and I've got a bunch of different things planned, and I'll definitely be sticking with the trick shots and trying to break some world records. But I'm also looking for some other video series ideas that might not be as time consuming as going out and filming these trick shots, but also, you know, tying into the sports background that I have. So the videos that I'm actually currently working on is I'm actually training to kick a 60-yard field goal. I'm training to hit a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, and then also I'm trying to hit a 400-yard long drive in a long drive tournament. So,
okay. And you mentioned world records. So what can we look out for there?
Yeah, so in addition to all the sports skill series that I'm working on, I'm definitely trying to break some world records. I've set a lofty goal for my 2022. I'm actually going to try and break 100 sports world records.
That's all, just 100.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of unattainable, but the way that I'm going to do it is, you know, I'm actually going to go after some, there's some trick shot world records right now that are held by groups like Harlem Globetrotters and Dude Perfect. And then what I'm actually going to end up doing is, you know, a lot of the trick shots that I've done already, I don't think anybody else has done. So I'm going to go out there, I'm going to measure how far I can actually do these shots, kind of set the bar there.
So they could be new.
Correct, yeah. So that's kind of my, that's, you know, that's kind of how I'm going to be able to get up there towards 100. But some of the, like, Dude Perfect has a couple out there, you know, like, furthest behind the back basketball shot. I'm going to definitely try and break that one. Furthest shot while juggling three basketballs. I'm not sure who holds that right now, but I was practicing that the other day, so I'm definitely going to go after that one. Going to try some like through the leg football throw, just a bunch of multi-sport trick shots basically. But then anything else that I can kind of find in that Guinness Book of World Records and think I might have a shot, go out and see if I can come close or do it.
When you set those goals, like how far away are you from those just naturally? Like, you know, with some of the background in those sports, like how far can you drive a golf ball now? And how fast do you think you've hit a baseball just naturally? And those kind of things. Are these like big leaps that you're really having to reach for?
Well, so with the long drive goal, I actually competed in some world long drive qualifiers a couple years ago. And when I was training at the time, my furthest drive in competition is actually 395 yards. Okay. So I was right there. But that was over 2 years ago, and I haven't been doing as much training in my long drive as of right now. So I'm actually, the video series is gonna be, you know, a goal-oriented series, but also a little bit of insight into what goes on with my training. It should be, you know, a little tutorial for people that are trying to hit the ball further and increase their club head speed. So that one, right now, if I went out to the golf course, I'm probably, you know, topping out at 350, maybe. So it's gonna be quite a bit of training that's going to have to go into getting that 400 yard mark. We'll see though.
That's so interesting. Like, I picture like having to run up to the ball to get enough like momentum and speed. I'm sure like if you're trying to in competition and things, are there rules like that you have to like have your feet planted the whole time and things like that?
Well, you can, so actually to maximize your club head speed, if you watch a lot of the top guys out there, like Kyle Berkshire is the best in the world right now. And he's got a lot of foot movement. Uh-huh. So he addresses the ball as if he's, you know, just a normal guy on PGA Tour. But if you watch his feet throughout his swing, he's actually shifting his weight a lot from his back to his front foot, getting his foot off the air or off the ground. Yeah. And then through impact, actually pushing his feet off the ground airborne. So that's something I'm trying to work on myself to try and, you know, maximize my speed. But yeah, that'll be in the video series,
that's
a lot
so
of the training.
Interesting. And being a multi-sport, like switching from that concept to then hitting a 95 mile an hour baseball, like I wonder if those techniques and the like mechanisms you're using to like get power, well, the 95 mile an hour, you're just trying to hit the ball, right?
Correct,
but,
yeah.
But I always wonder sometimes like if those things affect each other, because I grew up playing softball, and when I play golf, sometimes I can feel like I'm swinging it wrong because
sure.
it's just my natural swing. So do you think those two things help or hurt each other?
We'll see. I think because I've been doing these multi-sport trick shot videos for the past couple years, you know, maybe my baseball swing technique isn't great right now, but I think I do have the ability, maybe more than somebody who's specializing in one area, to kind of switch back and forth.
Yeah.
I actually think the field goal training video where you asked how far away I am mm-hmm. with that, because of my soccer background, I actually never really kicked field goals until a couple months ago, started just messing around with it. Was able to get from 40 yards to 45 yards. I actually kicked one over 50. And I think the training that I'm going to be doing with that series, which is all about, you know, increasing your leg strength yeah. and your, you know, leg speed and your flexibility, I think that's going to actually directly help me with the long drive pursuits. The 95 mile per hour fastball video series, I'm going to have to work on my baseball swing technique for sure. Hopefully I'll be able to transition between the golf and the baseball, but we'll see.
That's a lot. That's crazy. Just thinking about the... the three differences in all those things? I mean, I know you say like your leg speed and flexibility, but like then the hitting that fastball, I mean, that's also just going to take a lot of practicing, seeing the speed coming at you and training your eye to know like
And so far,
where it's going and when you're supposed to be swinging.
Correct. And so far, I've only really been able to practice at the batting cages, which obviously don't go that fast. I think they top out at like 75 or 70 miles per hour. And just getting used to that, you know, has been not easy, but it's, you know, it's coming along good. And for this video series, I'm actually going to be working with a coach and you know, getting some actual technique help on my swing. And then eventually I'm going to have to find somebody who can throw 95 or will allow me to put the machine up to 95.
Right. Find the right machine. Okay, so that's my next question. You mentioned how time consuming some of these videos are, and I'm sitting here thinking, who's helping you? You can't be doing these things alone, right? Do you have a crew of people or at least friends or like...
Well, for the years that I've been building my Instagram following and doing these videos, I really have been just doing them on my own. Sometimes, you know, I'll get my girlfriend to film, you know, even though she probably doesn't like being out there just watching me try the same thing over and over. Right now, I've actually got my roommate living with me who's helping me filming-wise. It's going to be a lot for this YouTube channel, trying to take on some of the editing and all that, which I've been doing on my own. But I think at some point I'm definitely going to have to expand the team a little bit because there is a lot that goes into all of this.
I can imagine. I mean, we're just sitting in this room and there's, you know, multiple cameras and people and then the editing and, I mean, missing all the shots because, I mean, you're not making most of these shots, right? So, like, there's got to be a lot that goes on the editing cutting room floor that you're sifting through all that. So it's got to be really time consuming.
I mean, for the trick shot videos, I kind of have a routine where, like, I know how long it's... I'd like to hope I know how long it's going to take for me to get these, but yeah, with this YouTube channel, I'm definitely going to try and expand. I've got, actually have a friend back in Colorado who's a professional videographer. He's got a nice YouTube following himself, and he's going to come down here and help me out as well, so.
Awesome. Are there any people you want to collaborate with, like big name people or sports stars? I know you mentioned MLB earlier, and then they shared your stuff, but do you have any hopes to like get athletes or coaches involved with you?
For sure. I mean, I'd like to grow my channel a little bit right now and kind of get, you know, put it out there and show people what I'm working on. But I definitely have goals to work with not only people in the trick shot world, but, you know, eventually professional athletes. And with the coaching, I'm looking, you know, just for people locally that, you know, have a little bit of a background in these areas. And then, you know, I do have some connections from when I went to college in Colorado to like NFL players and stuff like that. But I'm waiting to get a little bit of interest on my page before I reach out to them, but definitely some big goals.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this a little bit, but like if my Frisco Rough Riders friends are listening, I want to like give that resource to you. And I want to be there at the ballpark when you're learning how to hit this 95 mile an hour ball, and I will shag balls for you.
That.
At the end of Rough Riders season, which they're the AA affiliate of the Rangers, at the end of those seasons, historically, in a normal life without COVID restrictions, they open up the ballpark to us, to season ticket holders.
Oh, nice.
We get to have batting practice. And their coaching staff throws to us, and we're in the cage, but we're out on the field, and we rotate hitting and then shagging in like groups of five. And so they rotate you in a couple hours, and it's so fun. They get sodas and beers and hot dogs and popcorn in the dugout. So you hang out in the dugout and eat and drink and have fun. And then when your group is called, you go hit, and then you're shagging. It's just like
a whole night
of just hanging out, playing at the ballpark. It's one of my favorite things.
Sign me up for that. That sounds absolutely amazing.
Okay. When it comes back, I will keep you in mind. But no, even just the off season, if I can ever help you get into a facility or with the right people, I would love to help you. And I want to be there and help watch your trick shots.
I would appreciate that help. And yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm open for any sort of help down here. So
I also want to know, we talked about your personal sports growing up, but I just am curious, like, what does your sports dashboard look like as a fan? You're from Colorado, so I'm sure some of the Colorado teams, but you've also lived in the Frisco area now like 6-7 months. So what is Max's like sports fandom look like?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely a diehard Denver Broncos, Denver Nuggets, Colorado Rockies, Avalanche. Those are my top four. I am also a diehard Ohio State Buckeyes fan because my grandpa grew up in Ohio. He played tennis at the University of Ohio State. My dad went to school there, played club soccer there. So I was just kind of forced into that fandom.
Okay,
I was, you know.
So you're a Buckeye by your dad and your grandpa, mm-hmm. with soccer and tennis. Mm-hmm. Do you have tennis background?
So tennis is, yeah, my grandpa always bought tennis rackets for me. He was just an incredible tennis player. He actually probably could have gone pro, but he was, you know, so long ago that they weren't making much money as pro tennis players. So he went to dental school and kind of diverted. But he was just a fantastic tennis player when he was alive. And he always had a tennis racket in my hand. My dad was a very competitive tennis player as well. So they really wanted me to play a lot more tennis than I ended up playing. I just had so many other sports going on that I loved more than tennis, I guess you would say. But I do want to do some more tennis trick shots as well, because I did a couple of those last year and had some fun with that. So
those
maybe,
are kind of rare too. So
yeah, for sure.
That would
for
fit
sure.
into your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so definitely, yeah, looking to incorporate some more tennis in
those
for
sure.
Those
are probably harder to figure out. I don't know. I feel like you're a little more limited in tennis trick shots, but I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I got something planned that I came so close to, and I actually broke a tennis racket because I was trying to kind of do what I was doing with the baseball bat, mm-hmm. the bat flip video. I was trying to do that with the tennis racket, pop the ball up in the air, have the tennis racket spin, catch mm-hmm. it, and then serve it as the ball's dropping.
Of course.
Yeah. And I came very close a couple times, so that's one that I'm working on for sure.
That's just some specific timing. Mm-hmm. It's hard enough for me just to get the serve, you know, just to like serve and get the timing down anymore. I played tennis in high school, but only as a freshman, because I was waiting to get to try out for the other teams because I switched schools. And here you have to try out for some of your teams the year before. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of by default. Tennis was the only thing that would take me my freshman year. But man, just getting the timing down, just like good, strong serves is one thing. So I can't imagine you're trying to flip the tennis racket while your toss is in the air.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to, yeah, so juggle the ball with my feet, kick the ball up into the air, hit the ball up into the air further, like I'm lofting a serve up, flipping the racket twice, so double,
just
and
twice.
Then hitting it.
Okay.
That's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
That one, we'll see. I got to come back to that one.
Okay. I'll watch for that one. That's got to take so much time. Okay, so you told us about some of the like Colorado sports teams and Ohio State. Are there any others? Like, are you into the Dallas sports scene yet, being a Frisco person?
Yeah, well, I would have to say that Luca is one of my favorite athletes, and he's actually kind of well known for his trick shots. He does trick shots before the game, and you can tell that he's definitely incorporating some of his soccer background growing up in Europe. So I'm a huge Luca fan. Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets, he's got some razzle dazzle passing and some pretty unique ability. So I kind of gravitate towards people like that, players like that, but I definitely root for the Dallas teams as well, but I definitely default Colorado. If they're playing each other, I gotta go Broncos, I gotta go Nuggets.
Other than that,
the Dallas teams are okay by
you
me.
Have you ever met Luca?
No, that's okay. That'd be top of the list of somebody I could film with one day.
You kind of look like him.
You think
have
so?
Have you ever been told that?
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
Luca and like Dirk and Steve Nash's soccer backgrounds always make them so interesting to me, because that's like their first kind of natural sports.
Steve Nash was one of my favorites growing up as well. He was like just unbelievable because, you know, he's about my size. He's, you know, pretty average size,
small for
the NBA. And, you know, he won two MVPs, but he had that flair too. You know, I remember watching him just juggling the ball with his feet before mm-hmm. games and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously he could have played professional soccer on some level. So that multi-sport aspect is something I look up to as well.
Me too. It always fascinates me. I tell all of the kids, keep playing as many sports as you can. Don't focus as early as most people want you to focus.
For sure.
Even parents sometimes want kids to focus early. I mean, we had a rule not before 10 that you could, like, commit to a club level that excludes you from other sports, because you don't want to close off those other things before you even get to high school, because you can still do, and it's hard, but you can still do multi-sport stuff. And so it's just so good for, it's good for your body. I feel like it's just better for a well-rounded, you know, sport style to still have the other skills that you can juggle.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I attribute my ability to like hit the ball pretty far for my size in golf solely off the fact that I played every other sport imaginable growing up, just developing different athletic skills. And yeah, I definitely support that for all the parents out there that are raising young athletes. Yeah. Get them involved and let them just play as much as sports as they can get their hands on, basically.
Me too. And it avoids burnout in the main single focus sport too.
Correct.
Well, thank you. It was so fun talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you made it here to the studio.
And, thank you for having me.
Kind of let us know, let our audience know what you're up to, and they can find you on Instagram, and then we'll watch for your YouTube channel, and we'll watch you learn how to hit your 95 mile an hour fastball, your 400 yard drive, and oh no, I've already forgotten.
60 yard field goal.
60 yard field goal. Yes, 60 yard field goal. So we'll be watching for those.
Plus a lot of world record trick shots as well. So I'll still be doing the trick shots, but yeah. Check me out on Instagram right now. I'm actually working on trying to get a brand name trademarked for the YouTube channel, but I'll be posting that on my Instagram as soon as it's finalized.
Okay, we will watch for it. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Hustle and Pro. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform, and you can watch the show on YouTube. However you do find us, please like and comment and review and share with your friends. It's easy for you, and it means a lot to us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next episode of Hustle and Pro. See you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.